So, hello everyone, and welcome back to I Couldn't Be a YouTuber, so I decided to make a podcast instead, approximately episode 64. So before we get into it, a couple of channel quick recaps. As I said before, I obviously record these recordings, not back to back, so I don't really have a weekly schedule, so the episode numbers are usually out of whack. Anyway, since I'm working on Chinese web novels at the moment, because it takes a while for me to find titles of other languages such as Japanese and Korean, I think my channel direction has definitely shifted to Chinese web novels. I'm not going to cover too much, but I've revisited some of my old haunts. I found two more MGA or MGA level master readers, which is basically people who've read web novels to the point of above 3K. I'd love to get into that. Just because, it's the whole Bruce Lee thing of, I fear not a person who's read a million web novels, but someone who's read one web novel 5,000 chapters long, right? Starfall is a reader who's read 4K from World Defying Dan God. And an MGA readers like Umos, Amerson, or whatever, read MGA to completion and then rereads it again. Sort of like One Piece for anime fans, or yeah, sort of like One Piece for anime fans who like they just can watch such a long series, and they have to have the dedication and patience to a specific series, right? You have to, one, have the patience to read every single chapter and the dedication to whether to stick for the updates or to actually read 3,000 chapters of one, right? Because you could read a million web novels and still never like cut into ink of the sheer millions and billions of words, trillions of words of web novels. But if you could read that much of one web novel, you're pretty much in this pit. That is the web novel sphere, or, as I like to call them, master readers, because they have attained a level of reading that I don't think I'll ever achieve, because I'm way too anxious and have neither the patience or the dedication. I'm actually closing in on 2,400, but still need 600 chapters to go before I hit the 3K limit, and it's a fan fiction, so it doesn't even really count compared to Wuxia, right? Because fan fiction's much more infinite flow rather than one genre that kind of devolves into xianxia. But we'll cover that. I'll talk a little bit more about life stuff, depending on, how I feel like it. Hopefully I add it at the end, but usually I run out of energy by then. Anyway, so sorry I didn't actually recap the title. It's been a while for me. So for episode 63 of I Couldn't Be a YouTuber, so I decided to make a podcast instead, we are going to be talking about a Chinese web novel called The Black Agent, okay? And because this is a Chinese web novel, I'm reading the raws. I'll give you the Chinese title as well as the author. We have a lot to discuss before we get into the story in and of itself. So the Black Agent, Chinese title is called 黑色带行者. Did I pronounce that correctly? 黑色带行者, right? So the Black Agent. 黑色 meaning black, the color black. 带 usually meaning time period, but I guess in this term, it just. Daixingzi is probably agent, right? And the author is Bone from the 11th month, or Bone from November, right? 十一月的骨头. 十一月 meaning the 11th month. 十一 is 11 in Chinese. 月 is month. 的 is of, and then from, and then 骨头. 骨 means bone, and 头 骨头 together just means bone. So Bone from November, Bone of the 11th month, from the 11th month. The genre or category of it, oh, Bones in November. The category is game competition, which makes sense. It's a very unique genre. It is a genre I love to revisit. A little bit of omniscience, but it's more reincarnation. And we'll get into that if I haven't discussed. So for people who are new to my channel, or this is the first recording because I haven't recorded in a while, omniscience refers to titles such as The Omniscient Reader, The Villain Who Wants to Live, Rewrite. These are characters who have some sort of background or attachment. There are various categories of omniscience, whether it is overpowered. That's a little different. Overpowered, like FFF Trash Hero, is more like you have superior strength within the world or world building that you're in. Omniscience is a sort of, what is it called? Third person point of view, right? Whereas you have meta knowledge, right? There was a comics book girl that had something similar. Meta knowledge, where you are able to influence the story by breaking the fourth wall in some way, right? We see this in Omniscient Reader's Viewpoint, ORV, The Villain Who Wants to Live, right? People who reincarnate to the world with prior knowledge of the world. We'll see a lot of that in villainess novels, and so on and so forth. Usually in Korean web novels, they're called the novel's extra because they are extras that are thrown into the web novel world. In fan fiction, they would be called original characters, OCs, throwing your OCs into a world. We see a lot of that with Harry Potter, throwing an OC or taking an extra character in Harry Potter and injecting them to the story, right? OC, novel's extra, similar story of omniscience. This one is more reincarnation into a game world. We've seen this trope multiple times. I think I discussed a Korean apocalypse one, whereas you play the game to completion, right? We see a lot of this with Log Horizon, Hack. I'm going in very old anime titles, by the way, which is showing my age within both the anime and web novel industry. But either you're so OP in a video game, such as Overlord, that's a more contemporary work, where you've played the world to completion, and then the server shut down, and then you reincarnate into the game world. This is that type of Black Agent story. But this is a little bit special, and we'll get into it in a little bit, and I'll talk a lot about the author. Sorry, I haven't really talked about the story, but there's just so many. I'm very particular on the small details, and then I expand, which is the complete opposite of how storytelling works. But anyway, before we get too much into the genre analysis, let's go over the summary and the text. So obviously, as most authors do, they like to promote their new work. The Cub of the Lord God has been released. He's begging for three consecutive matches. Probably something to do with their ticket booking system for authors. But the summary goes, I woke up and I found I traveled to a different world with all my game skills. I thought I would live a beautiful life in my fantasy, but I didn't want to lose the two most important people in my life because of this. Even if I am unarmed, if I'm deserted, I will stand on top of this city, overlooking this alien world where darkness is twisted and hidden under grotesque. It's interesting because another translation for this is the Black Walker. And if I haven't talked about this before, it's remarkably similar to a Scribblehub title called The Bleak Walker. And while a story may seem like it tends to that direction, it is very, very different, and I'm going to throw a lot of titles at you. Sorry, the tags are game world, so game competition, a game system, lit RPG basically, in that sense. But it is located in a virtual world, isekai or transmigration into a video game, the world specifically, but with the gaming systems. Cyberpunk, that's just the style, the genre of the world, and otaku, meaning we have a very hikikomori or otaku main character. Now, what particular story about this web novel stuck out to me? Well, I am a very big game competition lit RPG head, right? Anything mages, sci-fi, I will read any genre, but this is one of my bread and butter. As always, the title and the cover art always attracts me, right? We have a very generic cover art of a gold background with fish, contemporary style Chinese writing. So we're talking a post-2020 cover, just based on like the calligraphy of the Chinese title, Hei Shi Dai Xing Zhe. Hei Shi Dai Xing Zhe, probably. And then author is Shi Yue De Gu Tong, right? Bones in November is the author. I've seen this on various Qidian covers for Korean web novels as well, but just a very tathy, Luodong, generic sort of sci-fi cover, but just more generic. And this web novel is so unique for different reasons, and I don't even remember the main character. Oh, this is, yes, there's so many different directions to take this. So let's talk about the skills of the author, because this is what makes the story shine. I know I should really be summarizing the story, but I am full of praise and I'm very bad at the summary aspect. Let me pull up his Chinese title name. Lin Huan. So Lin meaning forest, and then Huan has something to do with science fiction. What is forest fantasy? Yeah, so Ke Huan would be the same. Maruboshi, that's cool. Maruboshi is the name of the huge red candle that you would talk in day trading stocks. But yeah, Sorry, I don't have dyslexia. I'm just very fast at reading. But Linghuan, so Ling meaning forest, Sengling. Forest because it's two wood characters left and right, and then Huan, usually meaning fantasy, like science fiction or science fantasy. Kehuan, would be the other thing. So that's our main character, Linghuan, and his character is very much. I really should do the summary, but I'm going to do it my way before I try to attempt a more structured way. His character is very similar to the White-Haired Emperor in terms of story progression. Very mystery-filled, and these mysteries wrap up very, very well. So let's talk about, I know I'm jumping all over the place, but let's talk about chapter length. There are 333 chapters because the story is unfinished. So we will call 333 the finishing chapter. But I will say a lot of mysteries and questions that you have are wrapped up within this 333 chapter. Now he has written a new story, right? What is it called? The Lord Cub of, what is it? The Lord Cub of the Cub of the Lord God. It's a mages, witches, fantasy, gender bender, very interesting tags by a very unique author. If you enjoy gender bender or mages or this type of mysterious but intellectual MC, you will definitely enjoy his second story. As for me, the mystery gets to be a bit too much, especially with the weirdness, the Cthulhu, the magic system. I don't like that world building compared to this one, which is more political. I think the novelty and the mystery really grabbed me, but I don't think I could endure another mages one. I think Cyber Witches was another one that went a similar route to his new book. But let's talk about the Black Agent or the Black Walker, we could even say, for this web novel. So our main character Ling Huan is reincarnated into a video game called The Land of Exile, or possibly a better translation may be The Path of Exile, right? Dungeons and Dragons inspired. Very much Cthulhu, Gonfalon, just Cthulhu inspired, right? A little bit. His newer one's more Cthulhu weirdness, H.P. Lovecraft inspired. This one's much more cyberpunk. Think 2077. Sorry, I'm just mixing so many web novels. I'm mixing a 2099 Future World web novel with a Mages web novel just because I recently consumed all of these. I've consumed around 3,000 chapters within the last 14 days. So a lot of these stories are kind of mumble jumble. Ah, oh, so many different genres. There's like the Archimedes science mage stereotype that goes into a very unique genre. But let's focus on this, The Land of Exile. So we have a very interesting background. You'll see this in a lot of Royal Road ones where we start at an orphanage, right? Yes, the Chidian orphanage meme comes to strike again. Now we've seen orphanages and churches are always the birth of main characters just because you don't have that parent baggage. And it exudes a sense of mystery because it's open-ended. The background is open-ended, right? We don't have the parents' background. Now, our main character obviously has this cheat, right? And I will call this the curse of the main character or the reincarnator's position, paradox, reincarnator's position, superposition, or paradox, which is the knowledge that main characters hold that they write into the character background or character development is that they are not of this world. Again, omniscient reader's viewpoint. And it is all about integration into this world, right? I really like the quote from Bakugo, that's a fighting manga, which said, if a character is detached from this world, if a character has no connections to anyone in the world, then are they truly existing in that world, right? If you are not connected to anyone, then how attached are you to the times, to the world that you live in, right? You are an inhabitant of a world based on your connections to the people there, right? If you are not connected to anyone, then you are, in essence, an alien, right? A foreigner, right? Alien both in a citizenship and human sense of the word, as well as extraterrestrial, right? That's why they're called aliens, because they are foreigner. Not necessarily xenophobic, but it's just to differentiate us and them, right? In the past, they would be called barbarians. In today's modern age, we call them aliens rather than barbarians, in terms of citizenship and personhood, or even species, right? Different denominations to use the word alien. So when you reincarnate into a world, you need to integrate, and there are various character developments. Japanese isekai, they very heavily lean into, right, integrating into the world, food and slice of life, right? Chinese web novels do this a little differently, in terms of it's politics, 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 a little war, and some slice of life on the side. Sorry, I really enjoyed Dale Bumpers, the way Dale Bumpers talked about the SSC in Bobby Broccoli's video on that. But yeah, I just had to try the quote out. But anyway, so we see this really high-level character. It's very, as I said, very similar to Overlord or the White-Haired Emperor, where a main character is obsessed with the video game. We've seen this trope many times, such as like I Don't Want to Be a Hero, or Overlord, where a character gets to max level, right? Or he beats the game, or he beats the final boss. There was a really good one, in Royal Road. I think it was like the New World or something, the World Under. Not that specific web novel, but it was the one where it's like a mad scientist, or he crashed the economy because he loved the video game so much. It's in my reading list. I'll find it sometime. But yeah, it has. It's a very generic Irish cover, post, probably post 2014, 2016-ish, because that's approximately when I read it. Just mad scientist, he crashed the economy, and then it goes much deeper into politics. Probably got delisted from Royal Road, but what the heck, that's just the title. So our main character is overpowered because he has all these super overpowered video game skills, right? So we do have an overpowered protagonist, but because the mystery, this is a very much a mystery aspect, such as Lord of Mystery, where very mystery heavy, right? You as a reader are not given the full picture, right? And that is part of the unique style of this web novel. And there are a couple side characters, right? There's a lot of world development. We explore some character development, but there's only so much you can do in 333 chapters, so we do have an overpowered protagonist. Now, I have to say there's a lot of spoiler information because the way the character changes over time in these 333 chapters is so unique, right? Because of the mystery, as always, you tend to favor the main character more because this is from their point of view, right? There are justifications for why the main character thinks the way they do, and so we pa give some passes to the main character. Around chapter 200, things start to shift. The moral implications, the moral sensibilities of our main character tend to show a more realistic character, but our empathy for the main character definitely tends to decrease. So this is definitely a slow burn. But the mystery is strong throughout. We see the writer have a strong sense of control both in the genre and in the style. And this is why, if you really like this story, you should really check out some of his other worlds and other stories he's written. This is a very unique author. He maybe has issues with longevity, but his story craft and his storytelling and developing characters and mystery is very strong. He doesn't have the strength of many Wuxia authors, where you can rewrite thousands of chapters, like One Piece, Arataki. I don't know the author One Piece, but he doesn't necessarily have that longevity. But his story arcs are tight. It's very, very good. So let's talk about the plot in and of itself. Give me one second. So let's talk about the plot in and of itself. How's my recording? Okay, so our main character is definitely hiding a lot of stuff, right? We see him pick up a more naive protege, so to speak, and that is the A plot, right? The B plot is where the B plot is much more in the background. Okay, so let's put it this way. There's the main plot, which relatively runs in the background as a B plot, and then there's the A plot, right? The more urgent events happening. The first urgent event is the protege. There's some very interesting flashbacks, but not a lot of flash forwards, because this is not that type. Flash forwards are usually for time traveling stories. A lot of mysteries uncovered. But we see a lot of his background of our main character first coming to this world, and as we go on, I'll start to spoil more. But yeah, so be aware if you, yeah, I'll try to set a spoiler warning. So we know roughly something happens, and we get a sense that our main character is looking for something. He is called the Private Law Sanctioner, or a vigilante, so to speak. He is enforcing his own justice, sort of like a Batman-like character, because that's what a vigilante is today. Back in the day, it would be like cowboys or something, Johnny Law or something. But today it's more Batman, and even then, that's kind of fallen to the wayside in comparison with other Marvel superheroes and whatnot. Maybe like Doctor Strange. Doctor Strange is pretty independent and vigilante in his own way. So our main character obviously has a lot of these video game skills, but has no knowledge of the world around him, right? He starts off very weak, and we see some of these in the flashbacks, and we get to introduce to various characters like Camilla. It could be Camilla, but Camilla is what it looks like in the machine translation version. You're Fuerta. She's a wheelchair character, the sympathetic character, kind of like what we would see in Lelouch of the Rebellion. We have Ren, which is very much the Black Clover main character, which is like very arrogant, blue exorcist, you would see that very arrogant shonen main character type, which we will see evolve over time, the mystery of his death. There's a princess that dies that you'll see, Princess Rhines, and a lot of other background political world building, right? We have the Central Committee, you have the Queen, the Central Committee, the Chancellor, the Speaker, right? So the two main forces are the Queen and the Speaker. There's a lot of forces underneath them, such as the Central Committee, the Foreign Affairs Committee. There are three em No, this is not that story. Three empires, this is a new one. It's Germany, the Empire. And I can never, I always forget the third one. Germany, the Empire, and something else, but it's a new story. For this one, so it's mostly espionage based. So this is intelligence war, Central Committee, Foreign Affairs Committee, Toronto. So we do have a little bit of nobles. We have little idealism. There's a sparkle of this and that all over, but it's a very great story nonetheless. The Queen, the Speaker, so those are the two main forces underneath them. Is the Swangeng Ren, or I don't know, as I said, kind of my dyslexia or speed reading cutting through. So you have the Central Committee. There is an elite force within the Central Committee. So like the elite officers, right, is like the Swangeng Ren, whatever. You have the Foreign Affairs Committee, which is in similar power, still within the Central Committee. They'll talk a little bit about the power structure and who the forces belong to. You have the Dukes, who are the Queen's chess pieces, or the Queensmen. Kingsman, sorry, evoking my thoughts of the movie, interesting with West Virginia or whatever, the song. Oh, Country Roads. But yeah, so we have this interesting power structure and dynamic. Obviously, a sense of mystery. You have the outside force, and there's a lot of different tropes and plots that you could integrate with that, right? The tragic backstory, the orphanage, the side characters that have hidden identities in and of themselves. We have talking swords. And then all of it wraps up together really well. Now, here's where I'm going to throw in the spoilers. So if you're interested, you should stop listening now. But I'm going to start getting into spoilers, small ones and then big ones. And then from here on, I'm going to be telling the plot from whatever perspective that comes to mind. So our main character, you see our main character interacting with two characters that are very influential to the plot. Alice and Ren. I think it's actually that's the flashback. He's currently interacting with another character, Ryan Wheeler, right? His name is very similar to his childhood friend Ren. Now, why is this significant? Well, Ren and Alice are significant because they are the first people he meets in this world. He meets three people: Alice, Ren, and Miss Bun. Bantajia, that usually just means elder sister, right? But so Miss Ben would be what the machine translation gives it. Bantajia, so it's Unrun, so like benefactor basically. Miss Ben stands the Ben in Miss Ben stands for benefactor, Unrun or benefactor. I can't remember his name, right? Camilla is his cyber hacker, his one of his intelligence analysts, one of three. You have his kind of friend, not friend, that's Toronto. You'll see him later on in the story. They kind of become friends. There's not a lot, n not enough character development or chapters to really fully develop that story just because there's so many A and B plots that have to be wrapped up in 333 chapters. And honestly, 333, there's this limit because that's how many chapters he wrote before he dropped the story. So when you have that overview, you kind of know the story arcs and the timing in which all these stories have to wrap up. I think there's approximately five arcs, but I'm not going to get too much into that. As I said, I really love to analyze the small details before I get to the big ones. Camille, his computer hacker friend or whatever, supporter, Alice, one of the indigenous people is what I think people would say, or natives, right? There's got to be a better way to say it, or people of the world, right? And then foreigners, gamers, players, whatever, immortals, whatever they like to call the name. But so, the aboriginals. I don't know. I don't like any of these names. People of the world is still weird, but anyway, just natives, I guess. So Alice and Ren, are the first people our main character meets. Ren is very sympathetic to his orphanage, so is Alice. They protect this exile. So we have the world building. There are three layers. There is the central or inner layer, that's like the upper floors, the aristocracy. They live on a sky city. So think of like City in the Sky, there are multi layers, or City of Ba Sing Se. You have the upper city, that is one tier, where the aristocrats live. That doesn't even get explored because we just don't have enough story time to do that. The middle city, right? This is within the walls, right? This is the middle class, right? Allegory for the middle class, I guess. So something like Chromeshield Regios or Castle in the Sky, where that is where a majority of the protected citizens are. And then you have the exiles, right? The third class citizens, the refugees, the people who do not have citizenship to the city. They have to live outside. They still live a relatively decent life, as decently as you can live in the slums, right? No Nine would be a good example of it. No Nine actually has a pretty good city hierarchy. No 13 was a pretty good web novel as well. But so we start in the exile, and then the main plot is mostly located in the central city, and there is near the end of the story, there's a 50 chapter runtime of the upper city, but we don't really get into that because there are more interesting worlds to explore in the exile and the central city. We don't explore what's outside the exile, and there was some plot if the author continued with the story arcs, but by that time all the mystery had been unraveled, and it's pretty much just writing a new story from scratch. I guess he just wanted to start a new book, which I don't know, man. That's an author decision of whether you want to write a story with a lot of dedicated readers or you want to be a good author constantly publishing books. That's just the author's prerogative on his writing style. Both are great if as long as you can do it well, right? Writing one long story or writing multiple great stories, they're both the same, right? And the best can do both. Then it's just a personal decision. But we start off in the exiles, the slums, outside the city, right? That's the orphanage. This is where a main character meets some of the more unique, strong characters. Because of the short runtime, we don't have too many B plots outside where we have like the orphans or the city structure or the information brokers or dealers. But we know of this symbol called the Pure White Rose. Now, this we come to learn is a bullet or a memento hanging on his chest. This is a central mystery that slowly gets ra unraveled and unraveled in the chapters to come. I'll slowly spoil that when we get there. Now let's follow another lead, which is the first plot. We are introduced to this character, Ryan Wheeler. Now, our main character is hunting for something. He's looking for connections to this pure white rose. And within chapter two, he kills this weapons dealer that is dealing these pure white rose bullets or has this connection to the pure white rose. And then he tries to obtain this list of anyone who's ever interacted with it. We then come to learn what is the importance of this pure white rose is, which is a bullet cartridge hanging on his chest. I'm not going to go into the characteristics of a bullet, but just know the carrot cartridge is something that's discarded after the bullet projectile has been launched and the gunpowder is gone. The leftover is called the cartridge. So he has this bullet cartridge with the symbol of the pure white rose, and this is the central mystery throughout the story. One of few central mysteries, but this is kind of similar to a MacGuffin, which kind of ties the main character. The story introduces us to the background and of the world, the central mystery that he pursues. While he's pursuing this mystery, he meets a host and variety of characters that we also, as readers, come to interact with and learn as well. Elena's the flying idol, she's in the background. Toronto is the intelligence agent, we'll meet 100 chapters in, 50 chapters in. He's kind of that loyal pursuant of truth with a strong background. As I said, a lot of these don't get really well developed, but for the sake of the story, it is expedited, so it is a much more condensed and action-packed story. A lot can be explored if if the author had more time, but interest is difficult, and capturing reader interest depends on reader loyalty. As I said before, I started reading this by the time it finished, so post 2022. This story died on October 12, 2022, and he moved on to a new story. I'm reading this April of 2023. It's quite recent, actually. March 30th of April 2023, to be exact. So yeah, we see all these plot lines come together, with Ryan Wheeler being the adopted son of the weapons dealer with a special ability, as always. They call these special abilities or game abilities godsends, right? These are magical abilities or superpowers that each character within the world gets. Our main character being a video game character or having video game knowledge, you know, we slowly come to learn his infatuation or gaming skills. He's max level, so he knows all these gaming skills, and he's considered an overpowered character, but not the strongest by any means. He's not omniscient. There are various weapons and swords, right? Legendary UR rank weapons and characters he meets, Alice being one of them. There's another one, Siren, is another legendary sword. So he meets two or three of them, but we don't really see all 10. But definitely interesting ways to develop the plot. Ryan Wheeler, as I said, is one of the former main characters that he kind of drops off around chapter 100 because he kind of lets that plot line go. He kind of half develops the character, and you know, it's a possibility, but that avenue never really gets fully explored. But his special ability and background are hastily dotted out within the first 75 chapters, and they're just he, him as a character is not as important as the rest of the plot, so our author doesn't. There's a lot of potential that could have been explored, but for the sake of the story, especially with only 333 chapters, is understandable why he didn't continue. Unless you decide to continue writing, then we probably would have seen more of Ryan Wheeler. So back to these other two main characters, Ren and Alice. We get this weird feeling that Ren is dead based on the way our main character in the present is looking for information on this Pure White Rose. You will soon come to learn Pure White Rose actually killed Princess Rhine. And this information will be more crucial down the line as we come to learn of our main character, right? Our main character, we know of his identity as a video game character, but obviously there is another identity because they are reincarnated, which I will discuss at a later time. But you don't understand how all these plot lines come together. What does Pure White Rose, Ren, Princess Rhine have anything to do with this mystery of who the people you're tracking and Ryan Wheeler, right? There's the Central Committee plot going on. There's this some sort of weird beast plot, and then he has to protect the orphanage and the exiles where he comes from. We slowly come to learn that our main character has another special ability, which is that he has no biometric marker, right? That is discussed within the first 30 chapters, but it is never clearly explained or demarcated what the significance of this is. Later on, in around chapter 123, we see he has a special designation, right? So he somehow gets across this. He still has a black marker. He has a special identity, which is never fully explained. He is the self-appointed agent of Princess Rhine's, and then this confuses the intelligence officer Toronto in the Central Committee, who he slowly. We slowly learn he becomes friends with, he's pursuing a truth, he has a strong background, main character, yada yada. There are some interesting side characters underneath him, nothing too much of importance. Toronto is very much like Levi in Attack on Titans, AOT. And he has a lot of strong subordinates whose backgrounds also never get fully explored. We go along the route of 27, which is very much a similar story, very similar to 24. It's about the revolution and whatnot. I think I discussed this in a previous one. But yeah, there's so many different web novels I compare this to. I compare this to The Perfect Run and whatnot, and Steelheart in terms of omniscience, but we won't go there. But this is much more politics, 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 a little bit of war and slice of life, in the sense that this is more joy of life oriented or white-haired emperor oriented mystery. Right, because in terms of the omniscience, the video game characters, the humor, and so on and so forth. So I think we're like 50 chapters in. Sorry, I'm exploring all these different plot lines. We learn that Alice is wanted by the higher ups, but that is such a small mystery compared to everything else going on, and that doesn't get explored until chapter 250. Her background is fully explored there within 5 or 10 chapters. Our author is very, very skilled at pushing the plot very quickly. He jams it down your throat, but in a way that keeps the story going. And this is his skill. A more experienced author or a more wealth-oriented author would fully explore the background of all these characters, but then we wouldn't have the many stories that he publishes on a daily basis. So very action-packed and a lot of things going on. As I said, one of his skills is he has a weak identity. So we have one of these invisible Kuroko no Basket hidden extra background main characters who's always doing things behind the scenes and has no identity. Obviously, this is in contrast with his vigilante identity, so we have a little bit of this hidden identity plot. I compared this to Hidden Assassins on Gravity Tales, but I soon came to be very wrong, as in within the first 50 chapters, after the first 50 chapters, this model completely goes out the window. We are not looking at a hidden assassin character, but more of something along the lines of the outcast. Jianke, right? By Malny. That's another. It's called The Outcast or The Guest by a very famous science fiction author who wrote things like Starwing Hunter, characters from the Primordial Era. Very prolific author. And I think Malny even wrote Superstars of Tomorrow. Wei Lai Tian Wang. But very much Joy of Life, Light Barrier, which is an OP character, who hides his identity. He already went through his vigilante phase, and then we go on to superpowers and all this political stuff, protecting your own, whatever, and then getting involved in the world mystery, blah blah blah, Lord of Mystery style thing again in terms of mystery, where he's a hidden character. Lord of Mystery, Light Barrier, Necromancer's Punk, Cyber Witch, they take more of a Project K, where it's like the hidden identity to OP character, whereas Project K is he slowly discovers his identity. This is similar to Project K in that the other ones is they already know their identity, but you as a reader don't. So that information misalignment is where a lot of the meat of the story goes until, right? But reconciling that hidden identity to the reader means you have to introduce new plot points for the reader to continually be invested in, which Nomenclature of the Night kind of didn't do. So I'm throwing so many chapter titles at you, I just have a lot of different lines of thought. So continuing the story, we see a lot of things happen in quick succession, right? We see the story of this mystery unravel, how he slowly tracks down these characters and slowly kills them, right? This corruption, we see these dukes become very corrupt, we explore their backgrounds, their connection to the queen. Right, the Central Committee and their connection to the Speaker. The Speaker isn't a character very well developed. We see some of the Queen's motivation, but her screen time is very, very condensed. As I said before, it is severely limited by its 333 chapter count. You don't experience that, but it is a relatively nice chapter length for someone who is starting to. Actually, no, this is still too heavy of a beginner entry level story. I would say this is a mid-level reader who is starting to push a upon the boundaries of 600 chapters. This is a very good pushing along the boundaries of a 600 chapter web novel reader who is consistently reading about 200 to 300 chapter. Now, if you're looking for a quick Korean web novel, this is not that. This is slightly longer. Korean web novels are very dense, so they're under 400 chapter count is pretty good for a certain type of reader, provided you can wait for the updates and translations. Actually, that's one of the major issues with Korean, which is the lack of translations, chapter updates, and just the speed in which the patience and dedication which you have to the medium of Korean. Hence why I'm a Chinese web novel reader, there's just much more content out there. So we see a lot of flashbacks, flash forwards. Oh, Sheen Gwendolyn, that's her name. That's the third character he meets. One of three, we see a lot of these characters come together, right? We see the unscrupulous merchant in terms of Charles Pitt Emin. She is the heir of Pete Emin. He is one of the weapons dealers and large merchants. Think of the avatar with the second avatar, Bolin, right? His family background is or the cabbage merchant background as an industrialist, right? We have some of that. Our main character is known as Collage Man, Batman, right? The anonymous man, the man with the mask, right? That type of thing. He's Thing Ling Huan. And we see him just constantly chasing these various mysteries. We have a secret mystery lab. We see a bunch of hidden shady characters. Our main character's identity is revealed around chapter 150, 200. He is the second prince, Prince Ignaz. The third prince is still alive, Prince Gabriel. The first prince is dead. The fourth princess, Princess Ryan, is dead. And you start to see all these lines and connections really come together around chapter 200, 250. We find that a childhood Ren who supposedly died in a fire is actually still alive, and that he was a secret agent of the Speaker all along. At chapter 333, literally at the last couple chapters, we see his final and hidden identity revealed, but I won't go there just yet. Let's talk about Alice. We'll uncover her identity. Sheen Gwendolyn is the third character. She's sort of the side mercenary character that supports our main character, Gabriella, who is introduced in around chapter 150 as the second hidden force. We aren't sure what she is, whether she belongs to the Queen or the Speaker. We find out she's an independent force upon the main character in this very complicated political web and world, right? Kamiya T. Quinn. Can't remember the name, but I think that's Kamiya of, yeah, this Kamiya the hacker. She dies because of God's work. God's work is an injection that gives people superpowers. It's a special type of drug recently developed. Again, there's some seems to be some sort of connection with the beast and whatnot. A lot of unexplored mysteries now looking back, that storylines that just were never fully closed, but were never really central to the main story. We keep seeing this convenience store keep getting robbed, but that's not really relevant. There's some monetary stuff going on. We see the Phantom Thief Silfu, the Phantom Thief kind of like that around chapter 200. Unique character never gets fully explored. Let's keep moving on. Where are we? Yes, we see Gabriella. We see her band. There's Knight. There, Knight is the has the superpower. Oh, this is very much like Ueki, the Law of Trash, or more modernly known as My Hero Academia, MHA, One Punch Man. Superheroes, everyone has a unique power or quirk, right? Quirk is what it is, but Ueki, the Law of Trash, or O Parts Hero, those are the things I grew up with. Spiral, where everyone has a special superpower, right? Paper folding, there's fire, that's another one. She's bald, interesting. Gabriella, her power to negate things, right? Magical index, spiritual railgun sort of thing. That's the third princess. Our second princess, Ignaz, is the identity. Our main character is reincarnated. We've figured that out. Blah, blah, blah. There is a dual nature main character, whereas he is his main character, his identity as a native, and his character as an outsider. We see another scientist main character, Micah Lake. You'll see that in Rebirth, right? The obsessed scientist who's really smart, he betrays. There is this tension or unexplored backstory between him and Alice, right? Our first main character, one of the few main characters we meet at the beginning, where he betrayed for a higher identity, but there is this sort of subtext that he may have did it to protect them. But as the story chapter goes on, it's kind of doubtful. That layer of mystery is very interesting in and of itself. We won't explore it too much. Alice, we learn in chapter 250, is a clone of one of the politicians, one of the dukes. There are four dukes, right? Two of the dukes died under the hand of the private law sanctioner, aka Ling Huan, our man in the mask who has this hidden identity. So many different identities to jig around. And this is a very dense 333 chapter. There's the various bridges motifs. Kind of reminding me of the Risk of Rain or something from Saudi Arabia or Abu Dhabi in terms of their world building. The city with the ring, Neom, a lot of these super mega project building skyscraper futuristic worlds where you just have these really tall buildings and sky trams and so on and so forth. It's cyberpunk, right? 2077. Obviously, the special medicine god work that we don't see that introduced until around chapter 150. The girl in the wheelchair. Our main character seems to have an inscrutable number of wealth, which we eventually learn comes from his background as a prince, the various assets left to him, safe houses, whatnot. He's being tracked by the Central Committee because of his special identity, and his identity is a vigilante. Then we delve into Joy of Life in terms of politics and so on and so forth. We're finally getting to around chapter 200. We see other main characters, side characters come in within the Central Committee and the Foreign Affairs Committee. Gale Borg, obviously, Fate. Stay Night, Fate, Grand Order, where we see a lot of these special weapons. So these are one of three. Alice possesses one. We have Siren, which is the talking sword. One of the isekais, like I reincarnated as a talking sword, and Gale Borg, which just reminds me of Fate, Stay Night. A central committee, probably with family background, also because of the sword, she has to join the central committee, that sort of trope. We have Phoenix, which is the experimental body. She's one of the experimental successes, number 125. I believe 126. Sorry, I'm going to confuse her with the new story character of this author by Bones in November 006 and 004. I only made it 33 chapters in, but let's continue. Oh, Sabeka is her name. For the Gale Borg, she Rei. Dude, I'm gonna get Shiren Xingyan. Okay, the problem with the new story is that it is so unique because it's Cthulhu. There's a lot of mystery. There's this idea of the artifact. We get this Shauna of the Flame type of anime background story. Sorry, way too much. There's like two more. There's like the Super Professor, whatever, which is like the mystery. Do they talk about Doraemon Door and whatever, and then it becomes a slice of life. We get to the World Teacher Association. Blah blah blah. Won't go there. Yeah, sorry, it's so much Cthulhu. Gamada? No. Okay, so we'll finally get to the wrap up. Sorry, I'm very bad at summarizing. Then we see the queen assassinated, the speaker assassinated, and Gabriella III, prince. It's weird because it's supposed to, I don't do pronouns well because in machine translation they don't correctly do she and he because they're the same. It's a homonym character, which means they're pronounced the same but they're written differently, right? Taha ta, one has a male piampong or English would be prefix, but it's more like side stroke to denominate male or female or whatever type of character to denote the specific type of character it is, right? It would be the male character and the female character. Side stroke. I don't really know how to be written English. In China, Pong, which is the strokes you'd write on the side or the top, right? There are various characters in Chinese that denote whether this character is describing water, is it describing grass, is it describing male or female? Does it have rain on top? Does it have the three pitchfork stroke pointed to the left on the left? Just different side characters. And so the translation doesn't do he or she well, but Gabrielle is the name of the third prince or princess. I'd assume princess, though. Even though it's a lot of male-dominated he, because that's just how machine translation work, still needs a little bit more correction on that. Toronto gets locked up. There's a lot of idealism within his ranks, because he is the truth faction within the Central Speaker Committee. Too much organization, not going to go there. Our main character, his special ability is a lot of lightning. He is able to do a couple things at once, but he has a limited amount of mana pool, which you'll see very differently in his third work, his most recent work. Eventually, we see a lot of the modern world crumble down, which is, more self-determination. Our main character, his moral failings really come into being. He is betrayed by his characters that he first met. And then we come to Ren's hidden identity, which he is also traversed in his own right, who's traversed 10 years before. We see this a lot before as well in Isaac, right? Isaac is a Korean web novel, very amazing, very unique in its own right. We see a lot of alien beasts come in. The world is destroyed. It's very dystopian, very American dystopian web novels, and we see a very ending that you would see with Maze Runner. What's Maze Runner's famous one? A sequel. The Death Cure, whatever. What a lot of those dystopians, very similar to that world line. Special abilities, hijinks all in and of itself, hidden forces, overpowered characters, a very interesting partner slash weapon that feeds on blood. So we'll see stuff like Ajin come in, Zetsun no Terror sort of style. We see the pure white rose is really analogous of a special organization called the Dark Owl, which is the independent forces under Gabriella, which is the third prince. And then you have the queen who kills Princess Rhine for her own gain, the speaker kill Princess Rhine, and the whole royal family is killed for control by the speaker and the queen. As I said, politics, 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 right? These two people want to stay in power, and this is why I said it's very similar to The Outcast or The White Emperor. The White Emperor is finished, a very unique story in its own right, but I just couldn't get past the tragedy, and also I just didn't have the dedication to get past chapter 1400 with all the mysteries of each of the character explored. If you want a longer story, The White-Haired Emperor is definitely the way to go. Some of his newer stories are great. Molniz, The Outcast is great. Joy of Life is awesome. Isaac, a lot of these stories that I allude to are great, as well as the anime series. Apologies for my very open-endedness in exploring all these plot lines. I said I'm not very good at summarizing because there's so many different topics to cover, and I always have so many stories that are just amazing to read, but I'm just not good at speaking. But anyway, that's about it for I couldn't be YouTuber, so I didn't make a podcast instead, episode number 63. I speak very quickly, but that was the Black Agent or the Black Walker. Hei se, Dai Xing Zhe. By 11月的骨头, Bones in November. Category game competition. And we'll stop here.